Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
What's up, beautiful Good Life fam? How are you doing today? Man, have Stevie and I told you lately that we love you all? Feels so good every week when we can gather around here in the Good Life house and just connect with you guys. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. We're going to catch you up on some baby news. Let's just say it's going to be delicious. And then also we are going to dive into a really great interview that we had with Jeremy and Adrian Camp. Man, they are doing some incredible stuff in their life, in their work. And they also have a new movie out that came out a few months ago, but it's awesome. And we're going to talk about that and their story, which is really captivating and inspiring. Plus, Stevie and I have some good news of the week stories for you guys. And one of them, let's just say, it gets a little smelly, if you know what I mean. Anyways, all that and more is coming up here on The Good Life. Get ready, y'all. It's about to get good.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Can't you hear that right there? Is the coziest cozy song from Father of the Bride Part 2, the second one.
You love that movie, baby.
Has everyone out there seen this movie? This is a wonderful movie. This is one of our favorite movies. But we're playing that song, you guys, because in the second one, Part 2, if you haven't seen it, they're having a baby. It's all about them getting pregnant. It's about the mom and the daughter getting pregnant at the same time, which is...
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that. You're right. Yep.
What if you and your mom were pregnant at the same time right now?
Oh, my gosh. That would be weird. I mean, let's leave it for the movies. Those are things that, right, only happen in the movies.
It just... That would be so strange. But you know what's weird when I'm thinking about that, Saz? Is that I realized that... My mom was pregnant the same time as her mom and her stepmom.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. Your mom has crazy stories like that.
So my grandmother, she had my mom very young. And then my mom's stepmom was younger, a lot younger than my grandfather when they remarried. And so literally I have two uncles that are the exact same age as my brother. Isn't that crazy?
That is weird. I know.
That is Rachel so and Anthony. Crazy.
Man, that movie is one of my favorites, honestly. I love Father of the Bride. I think our friend Cody Johns was here in town and said he'd never seen it. And we were shook.
Dude,
we gave him a hard time.
If you haven't seen it, I mean, where have you been? You've been living under a rock. You have to see it. It's such a good movie. It's so cozy. But anyways, yeah, we're hyped about that because we had a beautiful experience this week in the family and the pregnancy department, babe. Why don't you share a little bit?
Yes, but before we do, how are you guys doing out there? You know, we hope that wherever you're listening to our show, whether it's in your car, in your bedroom, on your headphones, as you're on the treadmill, wherever that is, we are welcoming you into the house today for another episode of The Good Life. We love you, fam. This week, yeah, I had my latest doctor's appointment, 24-week checkup, and it was a little overdue, but it was the anatomy scan. So if you're a mama or you're pregnant or you have had a baby, you know what that means. It's something that you have to do in around the 20, between the, I think, 21st week to, there's a cutoff. But it checks the anatomy of your baby, looks at all the vital organs and the body parts to measure them, see how everything's growing and everything's going, and things were going good. And she told me that, she's like, this is going to be like a 45-minute thing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And then she said at the very end, when I'm done getting all my measurements, then we can like pull out your phone. And if you want to get any pictures so that you can send it to your husband and family, you can, you know, it's just during this weird time. It's like sucks that CB couldn't be there. I know you really wanted to be there, babe. So anyways, we're doing the anatomy scan and literally like not even 15 minutes in, she goes, oh my gosh, she's literally in the perfect position right now for me to switch over to the 4D. Grab your phone. I go, oh my God. Okay. Grabbed my phone. It was next to me and she flipped over to the 4D camera, and I was not thinking anything of it because last time with Teenie, she gave me nothing. It was like a glob, and most of the time, you don't really see the actual feature. It's just a glob. She switched over to that 4D, babe, and then she focused with this little thing. Oh my gosh. I saw the frontal face, literally could see the features perfectly. And I screamed. I like screamed. I felt like I died and came back to life. And I looked closely and I could actually make up some of the features of like you and Teenie. I specifically saw you and Teenie in her. And then what did I do, babe? I called you after.
But I think we have a little bit of the audio from your video. Can we just play that really quick?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my word. She showed up today for the camera.
Her little ear.
My ear.
Like,
oh my god, I want to hold her right now. Oh, so sweet.
That's so sweet. So you sent that video to me. And
can
y'all,
I just tell you too, babe, how many times the ultrasound lady was like dying laughing at some of the stuff I was saying. I was saying like, oh my god, she is smackable. She is delicious. And this ultrasound lady was dying laughing.
Saz, you always refer to our children as something to do with food. You always said the baby is cooking up or I'm going to eat you or they're delicious. Y'all, so if you're delicious. New to the show, don't worry. She's not a cannibal. I know that a lot of you guys were concerned about that, but okay.
Nobody was concerned.
I have to tell you, when you sent me that video, I'm so glad you sent it to me because you completely diffused the morning from hell that I was having, you guys. So our friends were coming into town. This was what, last Thursday, Friday?
Yeah.
Our friends were moving to town. Some of our best friends are moving to town, y'all. And, you know, we've only been in our house for a month. And so every time we get to show it to somebody new, we get really excited. And of course, you know, if you're having people over for dinner or you're having guests, you want to put your best foot forward and say like, this is my new house. It's all clean. Come on in. Everything's great.
Yep.
Y'all, that morning, Saz was doing the dishes and we had had a plumbing problem with our dishwasher. The dishwasher had a broken line that leaked. And so our floors had to get replaced. Well, anyways, there was these other two lines that were running from the bottom of the sink that were coming from the garbage disposal. And I have no idea what the purpose for these lines are. Like, they literally just ran from the drain line to the middle of the cabinet and just ended. And if you know about anything about plumbing, that means that once the garbage disposal filled up with water, enough water, if you were doing dishes or something, then they would go out of those two lines and start spilling out behind the cabinet, behind the dishwasher,
and
on the floor. So she's doing the dishes, y'all, and I hear her go, Steve! And I'm literally doing my morning bathroom time. Like, Steve, come in here! And I run in there, I'm like, what's going on? She's like, the water's everywhere again! And I was like, oh my god. So I derailed my whole day, y'all, trying to pull the dishwasher out, figure out what was going on. So anyways, long story short, my dad comes over and he was a carpenter for 25 years. He's been a builder, you know, since then as well. And he knows how to do everything. So basically I called him. I was just like, look, I need some help. And he's like, okay. He's like, I'll come over. I'm going to leave here in 20 minutes. So he comes over, y'all, and we're just fixing this problem that's been plaguing us for the last couple weeks. And our friends are arriving, you know, very soon. And I'm stressed. And I'm like, I want to get this freaking dishwasher put back. And I want to get this stupid plumbing fixed. And I'm sick of this. And you sent me that video and it totally diffused. It caught me off guard, actually.
I know.
And we were like going to the hardware store or something. And I opened the video and, you know, it's funny because as like, you know, a dad to be, you know, we don't experience all the kicks and the bumps in our stomach and we don't experience the weight gain or all the other crazy things.
In your case, lucky.
Actually, some of us dads do experience the weight gain, but I'm saying all the crazy things that come with, you know, women realizing, you know, the baby's coming, it kind of hits us. But anyways, that moment was so unexpected and I didn't expect to see her face so clearly. And I just was, I don't know. It just like,
emotional?
It like brought tears to my eyes. I just was smiling from ear to ear because it was like, wow, we are having another beautiful little girl. And I just was thinking about how much Teenie has brought to our family and to our lives.
Oh,
I'm so excited, you know?
I know. Did you think that she looks like you?
Okay.
I see.
Listen, you can
baby.
Get a good picture of the face, but you still can't tell who they look like.
100%. It's you and Teeny. It looks like you and Teeny combined.
How do you see that?
She just looks like y'all. I mean, she has your top lip, the little chip and dip bowl you have right there.
What?
Yes.
How can you tell?
Your Cupid's bow is very defined, and she has your Cupid's bow. She has your little nose. I mean, we both kind of have small noses, but it's something about your nose that pokes out that Teeny has too, and I just want to eat it. And literally, this baby, I think, is the same nose as TT, is what it looked like. She just looked edible. I mean, she's a human. I cannot believe it that this is a real growing, living thing in my belly growing every day. It's like sometimes as a pregnant mama who's hormonal, all we see growing is our waistbands, right? And our waistlines. But then moments like that, when you get a real glimpse and then baby decides to say, peekaboo, hey, I'm here. It was just such a blessing and so sweet. And I cannot wait for her to hurry up and get here. Just picture the moment when Teeny walks into the hospital room.
I know.
For the first time, I'm assuming this will be during still COVID season, unfortunately. Teeny walking, if it's COVID season, Teeny will not be walking in.
I really hope that they're going to let us in because
you will be in, but she might not be. But either way, that moment when Teeny walks into a room, whether it's the hospital or our house, and she gets to see little baby sister for the first time, I might actually fall to the ground and die.
I know.
That will be so fun to watch.
It's going to be a sweet time. So that's why we played that cozy song this morning from Father the Bride Part 2, you guys. Of course, that's going to be on the TGL playlist.
Love you, baby.
When you go and check it out.
I love making babies with you.
Oh, good girl. You better chill out. All right, you guys, it's time for the good news of the week. Today's good news of the week is brought to you by TheraOne.
Okay, so now through Labor Day, fam, TheraOne is gonna hook you up. All right, so if you're familiar with Theragun, hello, Stevie and I definitely are, and our muscles are quite grateful for that Theragun.
Oh, yes.
Well, now they have created TheraOne. TheraOne is a variety of CBD products. All right, if you've done your research on CBD, we know the power that can come from CBD oils, lotions. They are scientifically formulated natural wellness solutions that can harness the restorative benefits of CBD to help you feel better and bring your body back into balance. Now, I'm not going to lie. At first, I was like, wait, CBD, what? Does that mean I'm going to get high from this? I mean, let's just be real. At first, we're like, wait, it comes from what plant and all of that? So their innovative, patent-pending bioabsorb technology formulation, it processes to help your body more easily absorb all of the natural benefits of CBD. And to answer that question, no, you don't get high from it. Okay. It just means that you're going to get more effective results in a very sort of organic, well-being sort of way. It can help ease discomfort, fight effects of inflammation, support better sleep quality, promote relaxation, help with stress, and restore balance in the body. So anyways, guys, if you want to snag that discount that we're going to offer you guys here on The Good Life, all you got to do is go to TheraOne.com/Cezanne, but only until Labor Day. And so if you go there right now, TheraOne.com/Cezanne, they are going to hook you up. Buy one, get one free.
That's a good deal.
It's a hookup. Check it out. And shout out to our sponsors on today's show who are making this show free for all of us to produce and to listen to. All right, let's get into the good news of the week.
All right, Sassy Cakes, good news of the week coming right at you. I thought this first story was really cool, and I wanted to read this to all these people that are down and out on their luck in COVID, but also if you're a small business owner. My parents are small business owners, and this article was talking about how more Americans are going out of their way to support small business during COVID-19. All right. It says 7 in 10 Americans have experienced a wake-up call during COVID-19 pandemic to shift their purchases away from bigger corporations and instead shop small, according to a new poll of U.S. adults. The survey asked 2,000 Americans about how they responded to the novel coronavirus's impact on their local communities and whether they're supporting small businesses in this difficult time. And 71% of those surveys said that they're now shifting their shopping habits to supporting local small business rather than big corporations or chain stores. I think that's amazing because I have been, you know, growing up with parents who owned a small business, self-employed. I mean, it's a scary time, you know, and we're self-employed as well. But people who own a small business, they have to pay the rent, you know, they have to pay, you know, their bills, whether they own a building or not. Right. Like a guy opened a coffee shop, babe, like right near my parents' house, probably a month or two before COVID happened. And I remember going in there just wanting to support him before COVID and being like, I want to try this new coffee shop. You know, I'm sure it's not easy for this guy to, you know, open up this new shop. And then COVID hit. And I'm just thinking about these people like, man, like y'all. So if whether it's eating or it's purchasing from local small businesses, y'all, we have to support small business.
It really blesses them.
People like Target and Amazon, they're going to be around, but we got to support mom and pop. So I thought that that was cool that America is stepping up and supporting small businesses during this time.
Oh, I love that story. I've got a good one too. NASA designed perfume gives you the smell of outer space without leaving orbit. Now that's the subject line. I had to click that because hello, I'm like, what? I got to see the packaging of this bottle and all that. So it's a rather pleasant metallic sensation, like sweet smelling welding fumes, burning metal, a distinct odor of ozone, an acrid smell, walnuts, and brake pads, gunpowder, fruit, rum, and even burnt almond cookie. That's kind of in a nutshell. So anyways,
what does the ozone smell like?
I don't know. Well, we're going to find out. Well, decades ago, NASA asked specialists to develop the smell of space in order to help prepare astronauts for the experience of outer space. Well, now a perfume called EAU, but it's maybe it's EU.
No, it's EAU.
No, Eau de Space has attracted eager buyers where its trial orbit on Kickstarter has now raised $500,000 in pre-orders. So the history of the smell of space has been clouded behind various accounts of its development. Ever since the first spacewalk, astronauts were shocked by the lingering odor when they returned back into the spacecraft. What? So NASA astronaut Cole Chris Hadfield said, "The only time you can really smell space is when you come back in from a spacewalk. As you open the hatch, there is this distinctive smell." So some describe that smell as rum, fruit, seared steak, or a barbecue. The first space tourists also noted a pungent aroma once the hatch opened, like burnt cookies. Anyways, they're making
That's crazy. I mean, well, it has to do some, obviously, with like the rocket fuel burning near them, right? I mean, I guess I never thought of space smelling like anything because you can't hear anything, so you can't smell anything, you know?
So the whole point was not obviously to create this perfume so you can put it on you every day, but the smell of space, it was so distinct that NASA felt like and when they're training their astronauts, they needed to recreate that smell for training simulations. Now the makers have partnered with the award-winning perfumers, and they report that they've secured exclusive commercial contracts now to reproduce the secret shelved formula based on verified astronaut accounts. So the astronauts are really the ones that are sort of going to help get that smell. But everybody's smell buds are different. You know what I mean?
It's not smell buds.
What is
Did you just say smell buds?
Like taste buds, but it's their smell buds.
I don't think they're smell buds. We might have to Google that later.
Anyways.
Fam, can you guys confirm smell buds? No? No.
Oh, Lord.
So. I think it's sense of smell.
So I think it's going to be costing at least, what, $29?
Well, if you guys don't want to smell like an ass and want to smell like an astronaut, you can get this perfume.
Did you just cuss on The Good Life?
Well, it's just a little joke, babe. Okay. If you want to smell like an astronaut, you can go and check out this NASA perfume, you guys.
Just research it.
That's really crazy. That's really something. All right, thanks, Az. That's it for your good news of the week, everybody. Up now, we've got Jeremy and Adrian Camp on the show. This is a really cool interview for me particularly. I actually grew up listening to Jeremy Camp on the radio, babe, like 12 years old.
I know.
I think I was 12 when his big song, I Still Believe, came on the radio, which has been a song that stood the test of time as a Christian artist and really globally.
Believe.
It's a beautiful song, you guys, but the song itself is so beautiful because of the story behind it. Is of massive, massive impact.
Did you know the story?
I didn't know this story until maybe a few years ago. And so Jeremy Camp actually came out with the movie, I Still Believe. and it's about what happened to him, a little bit of his life story when he was in college and afterwards with the first love of his life. So
it's a pretty big movie. It hit theaters too.
It's a beautiful movie, you guys. It's a story. If you haven't seen I Still Believe, oh my gosh, it is heartwarming.
Tell them how hard I was sobbing.
Oh, Saz was like, I mean, she's pregnant, you know, so she was
it takes a lot for me to cry. Think Walk to Remember, but this is like on another level.
But it's real.
It's not cheesy.
But it's real too.
And it's real, and there's God. God is in it, and it's like been done in such a tasteful way, sharing his love for God, but the journey that he's had to go on and the hard times and where faith has really been, his faith has been tested and how it's conquered through all of that. And also his current wife, Adrienne Camp, is also coming on in this interview today. And she's just so sweet. And we actually bonded with them after we ended up doing the little recording, because, you know, we're doing everything virtually right now. We ended up chatting with them for a good 15 minutes after that. And we got each other's information and we're like, hey, we need to actually hang out in real life. And I really was so touched by them, who they are as people, their story. And also Adrienne, she has such a heart for the Middle East and the Kurds and all of that. And I was like, what? So God is so good when he does that, right? When he brings people into your path. And that's really what this felt like. So we hope you guys enjoy this interview coming up with Jeremy and Adrienne Camp as they share their story, talk a little bit about this movie. And then Stevie and I ended up watching it afterwards in May.
You guys need to watch it too. You're going to cry. All right.
Yes.
Here's our interview with Jeremy and Adrienne.
There be gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Fam, if you're listening to this right now and you've got some extra stuff stowed away somewhere that you could sell and make money on, I want you to listen up because I'm talking about Mercari right now. Okay. So everybody has stuff that they don't use that's just lying around the house. Maybe it's an old phone that's tucked in a drawer somewhere. I mean, whatever it is. Maybe you've got, you know, unused stuff in the closet, basement, storage, etc. Y'all, there's so much value to decluttering your life, but there's also value in putting money in your pocket from stuff that you're not using. And guess what? People will pay good money to buy your stuff on the Mercari app. All right. It's fast and easy, and it's a way to sell almost anything and make some extra money. All right. So in just minutes, you can download Mercari, take pics of your stuff. I know you can take pictures of like even like a camera. It's weird to take pictures of, but anyways, you can take a picture of it. You can add a description and then it's listed. And just like that, once it's sold, Mercari emails a shipping label to you. You stick it on the box. You ship it from your home. No meetups. No crazy people coming to your house. No hassles. And there you go. You just put extra money in your pocket for something that was possibly cluttering up your house, okay? So if you guys want to check out Mercari, they have over 50 million downloads in all 50 states, so there's a lot of people using this right now. The app has over 700,000 reviews on the App Store, and the app has an average rating of 4.8 stars, you guys. So everybody is loving Mercari. Check out Mercari. Download it to give your stuff new life. That's Mercari. Download it today. It's called Mercari.
Yeah! Hey!
You guys are in a well-lit, beautiful house while we are in a garage, pretty much, been converted since we are living with his parents.
It's not a garage. It's a man cave.
Yeah.
Nice. Bro, you see? That's being optimistic right there, bro. That's good.
Well, we've been displaced like for a year. We sold our house. Are you guys in California?
Yeah, we're in Palm Desert.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
We were in L.A. in Glendale. We sold our house a year ago. And so our house, we bought a house in Texas. We're from Texas, and we bought a house here. And we're like 3 weeks from moving in, y'all. So.
Oh, you guys, so you were building a house? Is that what it was?
So we were like, we felt a really strong call that God told us, like, it's time to move, like in LA. Yeah. So we loved our house in Glendale, but we just felt it so strongly that the Lord was like, it's time for you to move. And we didn't quite understand, but we said, all right, we're putting our house up in the market. Let's see what happens. Yeah. Well, we thought God was just like, hey, I'm going to move you into just a new house in LA, maybe a bigger house in LA. I was like, babe, maybe God is really going to bless us. Let's really listen and sell a house. So we felt like God told us to go back to Texas where your family's at for the summer is what we thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is it? 11 months later, we along the way realized
it's over a year now.
It's like 12 months. Yeah. So a year later we realized, yep,
God has definitely made it clear that yeah. we belong here. We found the perfect house for us, and we're growing our family, and it's amazing how God works, right?
We're in Texas.
Yeah, we just bought a house in Austin. Like, we're 5 minutes from downtown, so we're
that's right.
Yep.
We're trying to keep it
slowly getting planted. Yeah,
my dad was like, "That's the most LA version." So, you know,
you kind of have to find a balance, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I was like, listen, because my mom was like, "You guys should move back to, you know, Round Rock, which is like 30 minutes north of Austin." I said, "Mom,
no."
I said, "This is what I said." Yeah, I said, "Mom, I'm not going to dinner at Chili's."
I know. I was like, "Why are you gonna hate on Chili's?"
She goes, "I'm not eating at Chili's." And I said, "Well, the point is,"
he's like, "We need to be around young people, Mom. We're going to downtown."
I'm from Indiana. She's from South Africa, but I'm from Indiana. And so, like, it's small town Indiana. And to go back there would be impossible. I mean, because we went from Indiana to Nashville, like to Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
We were there for 12 years.
Yeah.
And then we had kind of a similar thing where we're supposed to. We thought, like, not moving, but selling our house. But it was like, hey, let's get a place in Palm Desert because my brother's out here. So we bought a place, thought it was just for kind of like wintertime, because wintertime out here in the desert is beautiful. And as we bought the house for kind of like the vacation house, we came out here and God goes, "Now I want you to move." Like, wait, move to Palm Desert? Why, first of all, why the desert? At least San Diego or like something, but the beach, but why the desert? And honestly, though, it's been such a respite for us. Like, we needed. Yeah. Desperately just to get away from, listen, I love the music industry. I love people there. We grew so much in Tennessee, but it was like inundated. Like, we just needed to get out. I felt the life being sucked out of me more than like, totally. And we feel like it's almost been, it'll be.
Well, you get it. Cause year and a half, I mean, it's LA. I think it's different. Yeah. It's kind of the same vibe. You know what I mean? And so just refreshing somewhat, so
I get it.
We feel that.
I mean, that's such a big change, you know. I mean, how are you guys? Are you guys loving it? It's
we love it.
Yeah, like it's just
amazing.
Time away from to kind of, and our family was actually doing fine. Like, you know, my daughter will be, my oldest daughter will be 13 or 16. Sorry, 16.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
I don't even know anymore. And then my other daughter. Since, you know, almost nine, and we were fine, but I felt like that us personally, we were being sucked dry. So
I feel that, yeah.
You feel like they have a better community here of friends. Where, like, it's been really, really sweet.
Yeah.
Like, you can see them growing tremendously.
Yeah,
we love that.
It's weird how, like, you know, you move for a reason, you know what I mean? And like you said, you've had different seasons in different places. And it seems like whenever you kind of just follow that call, things, you know, it's like me, I was like, I'm not moving from California. I'm not leaving. And, you know, since being here, man, like we went shopping this last weekend at an antique place I was over. And I'm like one of those weird dudes who likes to actually.
He loves furniture shopping with me.
No, yeah. I just think it's so cool.
I do too.
Come on, dude. See, like, she was like saying, "Are you going to be the only guy there?" I was like, "There's got to be other guys who are into this." I was like, "I can't be the, you know, it's cool, like old furniture, but." As we're walking around, y'all, I mean, just so many people are just so nice. Like, "Hey, honey, you doing all right? Can we help you?"
It is something sweet about that, isn't it?
Come on, dude. I was just like,
yeah.
I was like, this
we miss that.
I love LA. I love the sunshine. I love the beach. But you're not going to get people that are as sweet, you know, and southern, and the sweet tea too. You know,
I need to just slow your pace, right? Like you were saying. I mean, LA was sucking the life out of us too, because we were always like, go, 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 go. And we're just in this season now. You know, we have a 2.5-year-old. We're starting to think about like her little schools and all of that. And I'm like, man, we've got to make some pretty tough decisions. And I'm so glad that God intervened when he did, because I think that if he didn't, we would have probably just stayed there and been like, okay, so what are we going to do? Like, and so it's been amazing just to see how this season has brought us so much rest, so much peace, so much clarity. And it's just great. We've been able to actually sit down more and record podcasts and do interviews, like meaningful interviews. Yeah. Whereas in LA, we were always running around and it was like, wait, what? What time do we have an interview? So I'm just so glad we've taken a step back and we're just doing what we want now. It feels really good. So, yeah.
Sounds like we're in kind of similar situations.
So
kind of.
Like it's so,
we're just like 10 years behind, you know, we've got a 2.5-year-old. So hopefully, you know.
I know. I wouldn't mind following in y'all's path though. I mean, you guys are so cute. I mean, everything that you guys are doing, that you guys have done, this book. I mean, we want to talk about it on our show today. Just to give you a background, you want to give them a background on like our show and The Good Life, just kind of what it's about, the people. Just,
you know, I mean, you know, on The Good Life, we've got a lot of like female listeners, obviously, a lot of a mixed crowd, you know, young people, you know, who are in relationships, looking for relationships, or some people who are married as well, you know, and you guys are such a great couple to look up to, you know, Jeremy, with your personal story as well. You've been through so much, you know, so many ups and downs, and you guys together, you know, are an example for people out there. And so I wanted to first talk to you guys about, you know, what's going on in your life right now, because you know, the movie came out, right? Coronavirus hits, the world gets turned upside down.
Yeah.
And you have this beautiful story that needs to be shared. And I'm sure you worked a lot to get it to this point where you're releasing the book and you're releasing the movie, right? And then everything just kind of goes haywire. What happens next with y'all in your story?
Yeah. So, you know, if you think about it, you know, this has been, if people don't know my story, it's, you know, years ago, it's been 19 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
I was married before, and my wife, she had cancer, and we battled through cancer, and she died 3.5 months into our marriage. And, you know, the whole movie, I still believe, was kind of the story of how we met, how I came from Indiana, the small town, out to California. And, you know, it kind of just blood, sweat, and tears for 2 years, kind of trying to share my story and put on the big screen. So we have things, you know, Lionsgate, which is a major motion picture studio.
Huge.
They were like, we want to take this on. We believe in it. And they got Shania Twain, which is played my mom, you know, and Gary Sinise.
Yes, how cool was that?
And playing my dad. I was like, yeah, I love you. You know? And like these kind of young actors like KJ Apa, who is in Riverdale, and he, you know, kind of teen heartthrob. So they really went all out. So you're going, what's going to happen? Like, God, you're opening these doors and people are wanting to be in this movie. We had people from Manifest, the lead actress from Manifest, wanted to be in it. Like, it's just people were wanting to be a part of it because they saw something was happening. So you go through it, blood, sweat, and tears for 2 years, warfare, of course, all the things that come with that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, things are going amazing. And it comes out, the first night it comes out, hey, we're declaring a global pandemic. And it was the number one in America the first night it came out. Like, literally, first time.
Unbelievable.
The run in America. And the first night it came out. And so we were like, what's happening? And then the theater started shutting down. You're like, no, you almost like going, no.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah. So everything shut down. So then it ended up being like, it did 10 million the first weekend, which was like, I mean, which is really not bad. But it was projecting to do like 25 million the first weekend. So you're going, okay. And so it was a massive, massive blow. I'm not going to lie. Like I had, I think for like, I don't know how many days, I kind of just laid in bed. Like I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of regrouped at one point. I wrote a song. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I wrote a song. And then, so then like I played it. And I'm like, let's just play it and do a Facebook Live thing. So we just did a Facebook Live and sang together. And we had like 12 million people watch it. And you're like, oh,
wow.
What just happened? Like, because we weren't trying to listen to my song. It was more like, guys, I don't know what's happening right now.
But right.
But honest God processing. Used it. Yeah, it was honest processing. And God like completely used it in a massive way. And so we were starting to go, okay, Lord, you've given us a voice here. You know, like what can we say to, in order to still glorify your kingdom, even though I don't like things right now are going great. I feel like that in a sense, my dreams got shattered. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That's a good regroup for us to go, why do we do this movie? Like, why do we do it? And it was like, oh no, we did it because we wanted God's kingdom to be glorified and people to be ministered to. And so for us, it was like, we had to stop and go, wait, let's refocus on why.
Yeah.
And we did that. We started realizing that how incredible it is that people are stuck at home, because it started coming out on video on demand right away, because they were like, we got to get it out there. Theaters are going to be closed down for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we started hearing story after story of people saying, hey, we probably wouldn't have taken our whole family, but we, our whole family watched it, and it literally led to conversations that we've never had as a family. And so, seeing how God was using this, and think about it, this is a time where people are dealing with fear, anxiety, all depression.
Yeah.
And here's a movie called I Still Believe. Like, are you going to still believe and trust in the Lord in the midst of like this pandemic and the uncertainty, economic craziness?
Wow.
You know? So, it regrouped for us and really made us kind of reset. In a good way, and but it wasn't easy for sure.
So as the weather has officially started warming up, guess what? We've got Rothy's on our show to tell you that they are here to brighten your day with a comfortable, washable, and sustainable shoe. I don't know if you've heard about this company. I actually first heard about Rothy's when I was living in LA and I visited one of my favorite showrooms, and they actually represented the brand. And so that's where I first got to try on a pair of Rothy's, and it was like nothing I had ever experienced before. There is something about the way that they make these shoes that are not only making them stylish, but they're sustainable and they're so comfortable. Comfy, especially for on the go. I ended up getting these really cute slip-on slides, and man, they were just my go-to for a while. If you're wondering how they actually make them, you're going to be a little bit shook. They're carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials like repurposed plastic water bottles and marine plastic. I don't know how in the world they end up making that into a shoe, a very comfortable shoe. So I'm shook. I'm going to just leave that to the scientists, I guess. Anyways, Rothy wants to hook you guys up. And guess what? Not only do they have shoes too, but they also have bags. So if you are looking for a new handbag, you should totally go on there and check it out. They've got really cute styles, again, sustainable. And I'm just personally obsessed. So if you guys want to check it out, go to rothys.com/Cezanne. That's Rothy's, spelled Rothys.com/Cezanne. I know you're about to find something cute on there, so you're welcome. Enjoy.
It's so weird, y'all. We were having a conversation recently talking about how I said to you, God never gives me what I want. Yes. I was like, yeah. I was like, he literally, I was like, it's a joke now. I was like, it's like, you know, you have this thing, and it's like you built up to this moment, like you said, right? Or it's like, you know, you have things in your life that are leading you a certain way, and you're like, I am for sure, you know, going to get this house or going to live this place or this is going to happen for me. And then it goes bonk, and you're like, what the heck, dude? You know?
That's what it felt. Yeah.
And so what you just said was so amazing, because it's like he doesn't give you what you want or expect, but he ends up giving you something better. And so maybe it didn't make as much in the box office because of this, right?
Right.
But maybe more lives were actually changed.
Moved and changed, yeah.
Which is incredible.
Well, we were just talking about too. I mean, the moment you watch a movie, you know, the credits roll up, and then you kind of gather yourself together, and you're like, okay, back to normality. And it's like people are watching I Still Believe in the comfort of their own homes and having to sit and think about it and process it.
Yeah.
And I know for me, it's like if I wanted to bawl my head off right there, I would do it at home, but not in the movie theater. And so I just think that there's so much more healing and just things that are going on in people's hearts that it's way more impactful than just in the movie theater. You know?
And that's what you want, ultimately. Yeah. You know what I mean? So anyway, but yeah,
It's such a powerful story too. I mean, you know, I gotta say, dude, fanboying here, you know, I grew up, so Saz did not grow up in, you know, in a Christian household listening to Christian music. I did. Right. And my uncle even had a band at the time, and they sounded a lot like you. And
are so you serious?
I'm dead serious, dude. They were really, really good actually. But they, when you came on the scene, you know, people were like, your uncle's band sounds like Jeremy Camp. And I was like, dude, that is such a great compliment. I was like, you are so right. But I mean, when your album came out and, you know, I Still Believe came out, I mean, man, I remember listening to that song a ton, just even as I was probably, I don't know, 11 or 12 or something like that.
Wow.
And to tell you, you know, that song has just stood the test of time because of the story behind it and because of the heart behind it. And you know, everything I think that happened in your life at that time. So you guys as a couple, right? Yeah. Adrian, how have you been like supporting and talking with Jeremy through this process? I mean, because it was like a big part of his story, you know, but it's also part of your story too, you know?
Yeah.
And so what is your side there?
Jeremy and I met on tour. We went on tour together, and I would hear him share his testimony from stage. And I just was so blown away because I saw such a resilience in him that I hadn't seen in really hardly anyone my age. It's like, you know, when you go through a trial like that and you literally watch your wife suffer and die, then to stand up and say, I still believe in God. Like that to me was just so impactful. And I was so hungry for something authentic because I grew up in the church and I'm sure like a lot of us who did, we saw so much hypocrisy and just people kind of saying one thing and living another. And so I was just so sort of sick of that stuff. I just was like, I want something authentic. Yeah. I want a real relationship with God. Like I want to see who God really is. And so when I met Jeremy and saw him declaring like God is still faithful and God is still true. And I believe in him with all of my heart after going through something just deeply impacted me. And so I would kind of corner him and go, tell me more. Like, I want to know more. Tell me all the stories. And there was no romantic inclination between us whatsoever. We were totally
It's true.
And then as I was getting to know him and he would share things about Melissa, I was blown away also by her testimony because I just thought, again, you have somebody who's staring death and cancer in the face. And instead of getting bitter about it and going, God, why me? And this is unfair. You know, what she said was, God, if you can use my life to bring people to Christ, to bring people to know you better, to be saved, like it's all worth it.
Yeah.
And you don't get that stuff when death is looming.
Yeah.
You know, again, I just was so blown away. And so my introduction to Jeremy was really his testimony ministering me. And I remember actually thinking one day, like, man, whoever he marries, if he even got married again, like, I just thought, gosh, they'd be so lucky. Not at all thinking that it would be.
Aww.
I'm lucky, by the way.
And so,
what was the turning point there? I want to know. I want the juicy story.
Neither one of us really know when it happened. I remember one day, like kind of wondering, I wonder where Jeremy is. And then all of a sudden kind of catching myself and going, like, why don't I even care where he is?
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
And you guys woke up in Vegas with a ring on or something.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Stephen will catch you off guard, trust me. So stay wide awake in this interview.
I think because there was no sort of romantic interest, we just were ourselves with each other and we sort of let our guard down with each other and found we became really good friends really, really fast.
Because
we were having really deep conversations about God and about life and death, essentially, and all of that stuff. And so when it came time for me to be the next wife, the story had impacted me so much that I just remember praying and going, God, I never want to stand in the way of somebody else being able to hear this, that even if it means that there's moments where I feel insecure. And I mean, you know, the movie and everything is not about me. I mean, my character's introduced at the very end, but it's about Jeremy and his first wife. But I just thought I would gladly lay myself aside as long as I can see God move in people's hearts and be.
Wow.
And so I think we live in a culture where it's all about like, I want to be front and center. It's about me.
True. Yeah.
It just is the power of what God can do if we're always trying to take the glory is so diminished and just lost if we're always trying to put ourselves out front. And I mean, I remember Jeremy and I just having a conversation and going, I know this is not about me. This is not about Melissa. This is not about Jeremy. It really is about Jesus and what he
thinks. Yeah. So I mean, it's really been an incredible journey just to watch how she has handled this. And because what you see and what she says, I mean, it doesn't mean she doesn't have moments like when the movie is but really she has, there's times when I was playing and I would quit sharing my testimony and she's like, honey, why are you not sharing? And she goes, I've watched how God uses that to minister to people. She goes, that's not my whole life. So I don't always talk about it. She goes, but that's a massive part of your life. Don't, if it comes up naturally and you want to share it. Don't just be like, no, I don't want to talk about it anymore because God is using this. So, but by the way, I used to open up for her on the tour. So that was
it's so evident too how God has really had his hand over just this entire, your entire story, both of you. You know, it's clear that he's really at the center of it all. And I just love how you both have surrendered yourselves to glorify God in the ways that you do in such a it's a tough industry in which you do it, you know, in music and even in film. And I think now more than ever, you know, it's timely, it's necessary, yeah. It's past due, really. So to see you guys being those first responders really to God's kingdom, I think it's powerful and it speaks volumes about your character.
And too, I mean, just even like, you know, humility and being willing. I think, you know, we've talked about this, Azan and I, just being in, you know, the public eye to some extent too, just, you know, it's, we used to feel competitive with each other when we were dating, you know what I mean? we both wanted to be like these TV personalities and stuff. And now, you know, we have a podcast and Instagram and all that. So it's a different field, but there was a competition, you know what I mean, between us. And I always thought like, oh, I'm going to be the star. and then again, like I said, God never gives me what I want. But thank God he did it. But you know, Saz has been the front runner, you know, and been the star. And for years I worked behind her, you know, behind the scenes. And it was amazing for me to just take a big spoonful of humility and just watch her and support her in doing what she was doing, you know. And thankfully now we have this podcast. But Adrian, I mean, it does take a lot to stand there, you know, and not only like just stand there and support, but like encourage him to share that, you know. And I think that's why you have a healthy relationship, is because, you know, you're both humble and supporting of each other.
Sure. I want to talk about the book In Unison. Guys, let's talk about what inspired this book and tell our listeners what they can expect when they read this book.
I can tell you what didn't inspire this book is us going, we've got our marriage all together, so let's tell everybody, how to do it. We figured it all out. That did not really, the understanding that, you know, in our generation too, I mean, it's in every generation, but we're seeing a lot of our friends that they come to us and they've already kind of, they've been having marriage problems, haven't told anybody, but then all of a sudden they've already made up their mind, but they've come to us and kind of to seek counsel or to ask questions, but they've made their mind up already. And so we thought, listen, you know, we've been sharing with our friends many divorces that we've had to walk through, which has been devastating. I mean, like devastating. So like, how can we give people better tools to not get to that point? Or even if they've gotten to that point, to have something to just work through, really from our perspective, even a younger generation, because I know that there's older books, which are amazing too, because we've been ministered to, but how can we share our story when God's taught us in this generation? And so it all birthed from just seeing marriages fall apart. And we have not figured it out, but we've learned a lot. And God has, you know, this book shares our story and it shares the things that we've learned. And it's not always pretty. I mean, there's a point in the book where her mom said, I love this part because I used to think Jeremy was perfect until you said, yeah, when Jeremy was a jerk in the city, you know, I'm like, exactly. I'm not, we're normal. I think that sometimes when you are in marriage, you kind of feel like that you're alone in what you're going through. And we're like, hey, can we share with you that you're not alone? You know, you start having conversations or reading these books and going, oh yeah, a lot of people are going through the same thing. We just need to figure out how to walk through it through biblical principles and things that God's taught us. So
did you guys, Adrian, I was going to ask you, did you guys have a moment in your marriage or before marriage, did you have a moment where you really just felt like you didn't have the answer? You know what I mean? There was a problem that arose and it was hard to find the answer, or it was hard to find a solution, I guess.
100%. Yeah. I mean, not even just one. There've been many, many, many moments, I think, in our marriage where it just literally felt, there's a sense of like hurt and hopelessness and just a wall where you just feel like we are at a complete impasse right now, where it just feels impossible to try to understand or even try to communicate what you're feeling. And I know for me, I mean, there've been in those moments, I've literally just clung to, there's a scripture that talks about just that God is our shield and our refuge, you know, and just going at times, just feeling like I feel so hurt by Jeremy. And, you know, there's just this massive wall between us and just really and being honest with the Lord with how I felt, you know, me just going, I don't feel like I have love in my heart for him. I want to love him, but it's not there, you know, or just going, I don't even know how I have the capacity to forgive right now. But it's just one of those things that's like when God asks us to do something and he asks us to forgive each other, it's because he knows he can give us the supernatural ability to. He's not asking us to do it from our own strength and our own resources. And so in those moments, I've literally got on my knees and just gone, God, I'm going to be honest with you. I have nothing here,
yeah.
And I need you to do a work in my heart. Because I think sometimes we get caught up with going like, Jerry was a jerk. He needs to do all of these things, and he needs to see where he's wrong. He's thinking the same thing about me, right? But just going, Lord, like, you've got to start with me. And I think, yeah. I mean, even in our country right now, it's just going, mm-hmm. we're so good at disqualifying
everything.
Each other and disqualifying opinions. And because maybe it's not being done perfectly, but it's like, we've got to stop and just go, God, let the change start with me. Yeah. Like, what can you do in my life? You know? And I feel like that's been a huge tool for us in our marriage, is just go, okay, Lord, we're fighting for the same team here. You know, it's not a me against him thing. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to invite you to these spaces to give me a supernatural love that I just maybe don't have in and of myself, you know?
All right, ladies, it's time for us to sit down and take a deep breath. Just breathe and be a little bit more carefree. You see where I'm going with that? All right, we've got another ad for y'all. Thanks for hanging out with us so far in today's episode. You know, these sponsors make this show free for you guys to listen to, and also free for us to be able to produce for you so that we don't have to charge you to listen to The Good Life. That would be a nightmare. So shout out to Carefree Breathe. All right, I'm just going to spend a couple seconds here talking about Carefree Breathe and what they offer. So they offer a line of skin-friendly pads and panty liners that go beyond leak protection to help you with your dry skin and ear, and they're irritation-free. Really great for sensitive skin in those sensitive areas. Right now I'm pregnant, as I've said before, so you know I don't got to worry about Mother Nature creeping up on me every month, but that doesn't mean I don't have other problems that have shown up with this pregnancy, like good luck sads doing 50 jumping jacks, or even if you sneeze, good luck girl, that you might not, you know what I mean, tinkle a little bit. I mean, it's the real stuff that happens, right, with pregnancy. So I have just been using some extra protection just to make sure everything stays dry and mess-free. So Carefree Breathe is definitely something that's great for light days. You can reach for their panty liners when you need more protection, and they've got you covered with their even super and overnight absorbencies. So when periods happen, stay protected and help prevent feminine discomfort with Carefree Breathe Ultra Thin Pads, guys. All right. If you want to check them out, you can go to Amazon or Walmart.com. It's where you can find them, and probably even at your grocery store or CVS. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of this episode.
I think, you know, she said something to me one time that was brilliant. She laughs because it's even in the book. But she said, honey, I love you. You are the one God has put in my life. You know, this is, we'll be married for the rest of our lives. It's going to be amazing. She goes, but I don't need you as much as you think I do. And you have to think, like, is that comforting? Is like insulting? What is that? A couple things. You know, she saw me kind of battling, just wanted to make sure that I was the best husband, and I was almost like this overwhelming thing. And she basically saying, "Listen, I love you, and yes, we, as you know, me as a husband, doesn't disqualify me to say, oh, cool, you don't need me that much. Then I don't need to do my part and love my wife as Christ loved the church, like, or you know, vice versa." And it, what it was saying was just saying that Jesus fulfills me, like, completely. I think when we get married, we think that I'm going to marry this person that's going to fulfill all my needs.
Yeah.
Right.
Marriage, feeling like they're going to fulfill all my needs. And then pretty soon you realize that doesn't happen, because you realize that they're fallible. They're going to make mistakes. They're imperfect. And sometimes they can be unloving, whatever that may be. So if you're expecting that, you're going to be gravely disappointed. If you say, Jesus, you fulfill everything, and I'm going to love my wife or love my spouse, you know, as her loving me, her husband, as, you know, you've called me to, that's what I'm going to do. Not negating our responsibility, but saying, Jesus, you are my everything. You fulfill my needs. So
That's so powerful. Would you guys say that this book is also relevant for people who are not married and people who want to be married, but who are just navigating through all of the stuff, right, that we have to deal with when we're in relationships? What advice or encouragement do you have for people who are married or unmarried, who will read this book, obviously, and who want to feel like they can salvage their marriage or their relationship if it's not going so well? Where does that person start?
Conversations with people, reading books. Like I said, I think a lot of times we're afraid to just have these conversations. Like, we've learned that we talk to people now. We have friends that were like,
totally.
And my friends were like, dude, you're being a jerk right now. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
all these conversations, you're like, you're right. And she's just kind of quiet, you know? And, but yeah. I think it's having those real conversations and it's giving yourself, like I said earlier, the tools that you need. Mm-hmm. So we have, even with this book, it's like, here's a tool that you can give yourself to be able to prepare yourself for marriage. So if you're not married, you can prepare yourself for marriage.
Yeah.
And kind of look over things that, oh, those are little traps or little things that we may deal with. Okay. Or you're dealing with it in a relationship. You can still learn, because really the book also is a relational thing. Yeah. Like how to deal with relationships, even friendship. You can even read and go, you can kind of deal with friendships in this way as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but as a married couple, I think that you always need to give yourself as many tools as possible, talk to as many people as possible, and make sure that they give you biblical advice, not just talk to people that want you to, because a lot of people will come and they want you to tell them what they want to hear.
Totally.
You ever had that?
Yeah.
So I'll go to somebody else who tells me what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Somebody who will talk to you about the hard things and prepare yourself and give yourself tools. So
that's good. And so many of those things that you brought up, like you said, you can do that in friendships. You can even do that. You know, we just had, Bishop Ulmer on, you know, previously talking about, you know, race relations in the United States. And, you know, it's just so much about communicating, you know, right now and keeping the communication alive, even in, you know, our communities and our families, about, you know, like talking about how race relationships need to be repaired. You know what I mean? And taking those steps and having those, really, like you said, those hard conversations, because there's just been so much hurt, you know, whether it's in your marriage or in a friendship or in your community, you know what I mean? It's like, that's such a good point that we need to begin to make reparations. And I think it really, wouldn't you guys say that it really comes from, like, it stems from humility and being able to have that conversation?
I was just about to say that. I mean, I was just going to say, I think within marriage, even humility, I mean, and relationships, racial relationships, all of that stuff, it has to come from humility to just understand that somebody else might be different from you. They might have had a different world experience. And even, you know, Jeremy and I was raised in South Africa. He was raised in Indiana. We have a different upbringing, you know? And so for us to just understand, like, he's not an evil person because he thinks differently from me. But so just being willing to, in humility, just learn, just listen. And then even in marriage and conflict of going, oh, you see something from a different perspective. You know, I don't know if you've seen that illustration of it's two people standing over what looks like, depending on what side you're on, a 6 or a 9. And they're literally arguing, going, no, it's a 6. No, it's a 9.
That's funny.
Perspective. And I think it's like, we just have to stop sometimes. And again, it's like, it's not always about us, you know what I mean? But just in humility, being willing to learn, and just to see things from someone else's perspective.
Yeah, being teachable. That's huge.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, powerful. you guys have been so great. And we still haven't watched the movie. I still believe we're going to watch the movie. You can get it on iTunes, Amazon. I'm probably going to be watching it soon.
Well, we did watch the trailer, and I will say I got a little emotional, emotional.
I was going to say, grab your tissues.
Oh yeah. Be ready.
It's like real life Walk to Remember, I feel like. It's like, which makes it even like way
heavier. One of our favorite movies.
And more beautiful, though. I mean,
so beautiful. I mean, you guys are great because, you know, you clearly, God is using you, continuing to use you, and through your marriage, everything, to help bless, encourage people. I feel like you guys are really connectors, and you just love connecting with people, obviously for God and his kingdom. I love that you guys have 3 kids who are obviously grown up. So we're looking up to you guys just in that department, because we're like, all right, we've got to learn a thing or two from them as we grow our family and want to continue to grow our marriage too. So we definitely picking up that book, watching that movie, guys. And we just appreciate y'all for coming on during this crazy season.
We want to ask you guys before you go, though. We like to ask people. We don't ask all the time. We sometimes forget. But we want to ask you guys right now, what's one thing that's good in y'all's life right now?
It could be anything.
One thing that's good in our life right now, our family right now, is having the best conversations that we've ever had. Yeah. Just conversations, because of all that's going on. It's been so sweet.
Yeah.
It's been an open door, an open window of conversation that we've never had before. So it's been amazing.
Yeah, I think in COVID, it was like just this intentionality set in with us of just going, okay. So, I mean, about once a week, we sat down and we just started going through the book of James, and then we just kind of kept going. But it's sort of set up that even right now with all the racial tension in our country, we're sitting down and having amazing intentional conversations of going, okay, let's talk about this. And not just that, But you guys, it's not going to change unless the Holy Spirit gets involved in people's hearts.
Yeah.
And so it's as a family going, we want to bring God front and center into this. And so we're going to say, we don't have all the answers, but we're going to cry out to the Lord together. Let's talk about this. How can we as a family be a change, bring a change, you know, influence the communities around us? And it's been amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome, y'all. That's wonderful. I mean, we're having the same sort of conversations in our house over here. And
yeah,
you can feel you just feel the change in the wind, and it's a good thing. It's way overdue, way needed, but I think it's definitely God's timing, you know, right now. So I'm glad we're all, you know, waking up.
If you guys are ever in Austin, hit us up.
Yes.
We'd love to have you over.
I'm gonna DM you, bro. Give me my number and all that.
Yeah. Yes, we need to stay connected.
My wife makes great Kurdish food.
So yes, I'll give you. I'll cook some Middle Eastern food for you guys. Oh. It'll be delicious, and we can all hang out. I would love that.
She's converted this white guy.
Kurdistan?
Huh?
Where are you from?
I'm from Kurdistan. Yeah, from the northern Iraq region. Yes.
I loved you already, and now I just love you 1,000 times more.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
We love our Kurds.
Little Easterners. So.
Yeah, yeah. We've ministered to a bunch of Iraqi refugees for years.
Yeah.
And we've seen
come to know
Jesus, and it's been incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
That's amazing. And, hey, we have to stay connected because my heart really is in the Middle East, too. I've always, you know, we're involved with some organizations, but obviously I would love to stay connected with you guys. And if there's ever anything you're doing in the Middle East, call me. Call your girl.
Seriously, I'm not kidding you. You just spoke her language.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are going to be best friends now. Trust me.
This is trouble. We might have to do a live concert.
We do, bro.
I know. I loved you before. Now I love you. I really love you.
That's
you guys are the best. Again, Cam, you have to watch I Still Believe. Get the book I Still Believe in unison. You guys are so awesome. We thank you again for coming on the show. Take care out there. Hopefully next summer in Cali, too, we might run into you.
Yay.
That's awesome.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.
Great. Y'all are the best.
Seriously. Oh, hey, literally, I'll direct message you and I'll give you my number, bro.
Sweet.
Yes.
That's great.
Seriously. Yeah.
Huh?
Do you speak Arabic at all?
No, I don't. But I mean, my dad and my mom are more familiar with all of like they can speak a little bit of Persian, a little bit of Arabic. We speak Kurdish, which is a good mix of, yeah. I feel like.
Yeah, Farsi.
It's like a mix of both a little bit. But yeah, it's a little broken, but you know.
Her dad still lives and works in northern Iraq. And so she's, you know, her heart is definitely, we want to do something there eventually.
I would love to. You know, I don't know if you've heard of the Lotus Flower. They're an organization that's been really involved with like the refugee camps out there, especially in Syria. And she also is a survivor of Saddam Hussein's like genocide. She's a Kurdish woman who started it. Wow. She lives in London, but her heart is in Kurdistan. And she's done a lot of stuff. So I've been trying to get more involved. I just don't know how or, you know, how I could do that. So if there's ever anything I can do, please, I mean it. Let me know because, you know, I'm the only believer in my family. Like I was the first one who, I would say I'm the first, but not the last who came to know Christ. And it was obviously through meeting Stevie in college and, you know, God really brought him into my life at the perfect time because growing up, nobody ever spoke about Jesus. I didn't even know that I could have a relationship with God like that. I didn't grow up in a very religious household. So when Stevie and I met and we were friends and he was just telling me about God and about Jesus and it was so beautiful. And I always encourage him and other people who come from the other side of knowing Christ their whole lives. Like for people who don't know Jesus, because I've been on that side, when somebody is so authentically and genuinely sharing the love of God and Jesus, you don't get turned off by it. I was so hungry for it and thirsty. I was like, more, more, more. And then literally I had a dream that I was in a church worshiping Jesus's name. And I had never been to a church before prior to this. And I prayed because Stevie told me, he said, just ask God to reveal himself to you. Yes. And that's what I prayed. Cause I was like, I've been praying since I was a kid. I just don't know who I've been praying. I don't know if God even hears me. So he said, tonight when you pray, ask God to reveal himself to you. And that night I had a dream. I was in the church worshiping Jesus' name. And it was the next day I said, oh my God, I was that person that was like, I'm giving my life to Jesus. It was like, it was just like that. It was like Jesus was there my whole life. Yeah. It was like the second that door opened, he was right there. He's like, I've been here since day one. And now you see me. So I love to share our story, obviously, how God has, you know, worked in our marriage and through all the cultural barriers we've had to face too in my family and even in our in my culture, but also just the love of Christ and how God has just, man, been so faithful through it all. And so I know a lot of Middle Eastern women who follow me from all around the world, they've found a lot of encouragement from our podcast and obviously our story, but I'm like, I feel like I need to take it to the next level. I feel like these women want to access that. They need that, you know? So I would just love to learn more about what y'all are doing. So if I can ever bring her forward or, you know, just do my part, I would love to just share all that y'all are doing. Really.
We're just going to find Austin and hang out with you guys.
Let's do it.
I'm like,
we'll you guys can come hang.
And have conversations.
Seriously. That sounds amazing.
Seriously.
You guys come hang and bring your guitar.
And bring the kids. It'll be awesome.
Yes.
Totally.
I love it.
Yeah. Dude. What was so crazy is I've, over the course of probably the last 7 years, I feel like in various ways I've been involved with the refugee community. It ended up being predominantly Iraqi and Syrian. But mm-hmm. how it started was with a girl, a Kurdish girl and her brother, who were kidnapped by ISIS, and she had been made a sex slave and all of that stuff. And so we had a connection. Actually, it was Nadine. Sorry, it's kind of a long story, but there was a girl that was going to church with us that was raised in a Muslim home. She's American, but was raised Muslim, ended up getting radically saved, and she started a ministry to Muslim families. And so through her, she said to me, would you do some sort of like art therapy with this girl? Because I'm a homeschool mom, so because we travel a bunch, so we just take school on the road with us.
I was homeschooled.
He was homeschooled. Yeah, it's great.
As well as possible.
Homeschooling's the best.
Yeah, totally. But and so I was doing these little art lessons with kids in our community, and so she said, "Would you do these art therapy lessons with this girl?" And anyway, it ended up not happening. But it was from that God just totally gave me a massive heart. And then I started reading. It was like God just opened my heart. I started reading tons and tons and tons of books. I've done like a bunch of courses online about ministering predominantly to Muslims and all of that stuff.
Wow.
But then along with that is like the Persian community and the Kurdish community and all of that. And and then I started getting very involved with our church. And so we would go into refugee homes and sit, like they would have just come to America
Some of them didn't speak English at all.
So there's a girl with us that was Iraqi. She's totally radically saved. And so she would be our translator.
Wow. That's amazing.
Hours and hours.
Oh my gosh. That is the most beautiful thing. You know, my parents, when my mom and her whole family of like 12, they escaped Saddam Hussein's like brutality. And so they came to America to seek refuge, and they landed in Bismarck, North Dakota. And my mom told us this like 6 months ago. I was like, you've never shared this before. She said, yeah, when we first got to America in Bismarck, North Dakota, we landed in a home because of the church that was there that helped us and took us in. So my mom herself was a refugee who obviously like was able to build the life that they've been able to build today and give us give me and my siblings the opportunities that we've had today. And so it all started with the local church there that made sure that they had food, that they would help them. And so they bought them bikes and groceries and would just be there for them. And my mom says, if I could look those people in the eye today and just thank them for just loving us and caring about us. She said, we didn't even speak English, but just to look them in the eye, she goes, I'm so grateful and I'll never forget what they did. And I was a kid. So what you're doing is it speaks volumes and it's amazing. And again, I would just love to stay connected and stay in touch because if ever there comes a time where I can also be a vessel in helping, I would love to do that because I've walked the other side where predominantly culturally my family is considered like Muslim on paper. Right. And I just know that they're hungry for Jesus. You know, I've been to Kurdistan. I've been to the Middle East multiple times, and I know that they want it. It's just, it's the missing link. You're there and you're like, man, if only they knew. And that's the thing, is they just don't know. Nobody is courageous enough, just few people like you, to be able to walk in and connect with those people on the grounds. And yeah, I would love to stay in touch for sure. And obviously just keep in touch to, I love you guys and everything you're about. So we need to hang out.
We'll slide in your DMs, y'all.
Yeah, we're going to slide in the DMs.
Please do. Yeah. And then I'll get you my number and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
same.
We'll stay in contact for sure. 100%.
Amazing.
Like, rad. Like, you know, you have certain people that are very kindred that you talk to and you're going, wow, they get it. They love Jesus and they're ready to charge for Jesus. Like, that's you guys. Yeah. I love
you guys too. So I'm so glad God brought us into each other.
Same.
Okay. So, thank you guys. We'll let you guys go. But we're so excited to have you on. It's going to be a great episode. So
yeah, I think it'll be next Wednesday.
Yes.
Awesome.
So we'll send all those links and everything.
Y'all.
All right. We love you guys. Have
love
a good
day. Thank you so much.
Take care.
See y'all later.
All right. Bye guys.
Bye.
All right, fam. Well, that is it for us today here on The Good Life. We hope that you guys enjoyed catching up with us on baby news, on astronaut news, as well as hanging out with us during that awesome interview.
Jeremy and Adrian are super awesome, y'all. You've got to check out the movie, I Still Believe. Support them as well, because as you heard that, you know, that movie came out right when COVID hit, but it is an awesome movie. Saz and I both loved it. We support it. We hope that you guys will watch it. It's like a
real
life walk.
We watched
it
with our whole family.
And it's totally
great.
No, it's totally good. And the actors do a fabulous job. It's an incredible story. So we hope that you guys will check that out and support Jeremy and Adrian. They are now part of the Good Life fam as well, you guys. So we hope you guys are having a great week, y'all. And we're just going to continue to push on through 2020. It's going to be a good year. It's only halfway over, but good things are yet to come, right, babe?
Yep, like a baby, a delicious one I'm going to eat.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Enough with the eating the babies. All right, you guys. Well, that's it for us. We love y'all so much. Have a wonderful Wednesday or Thursday. Or Friday or whatever day it is that you're listening to this episode. Mm-hmm. And we will see you next week on Good Life Wednesday.
We love you, fam. And is nosebuds really not a thing?
It's not.
Oh, God.
No.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. And just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear the bit of